Okay, Mr. Lucero, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record? Sir, you're going to have to speak up clearly, and can you state your ADC number?
27-9620.
Thank you, Mr. Lucero. This is a Phase 2 imminent danger of death commutation hearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. With us today is our Honorable Board Chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Luis Quinones. I will be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Mr. Lucero, I'd like to begin the hearing with a summary of the application in question. Mr. Edward Lucero, pardon me, I had my microphone off. The following is a summary of the application in question. Mr. Edward Lucero is 65 years old. He is currently serving a 20-year sentence for molestation of a child, a Class 2 felony, and a dangerous crime against children in the first degree. It should be noted that Mr. Lucero was also convicted for 2 counts of attempted sexual conduct with a minor, a Class 3 felony, and a dangerous crime against children. He was sentenced to 2 concurrent terms of lifetime probation on the last 2 counts. He has no prior criminal history. I will read a brief summary of the crime in question. On December 19, 2011, the 14-year-old victim disclosed to her mother, Ms. Rebecca Silvas, that the defendant, Mr. Edward Lucero, the victim's grandfather, which is to say her mother, Ms. Silva's father, had been sexually abusing and molesting the victim for the previous 5 years. Ms. Silva confronted Mr. Lucero, and the Peoria Police Department were contacted. After weeks of investigation, detectives questioned Mr. Lucero. Mr. Lucero initially denied any appropriate contact with his granddaughter and speculated that she fabricated the incident. After further inquiry, Mr. Lucero stated, "I know I was wrong, I did it okay, I'm not going to lie about it." In summary, Mr. Lucero engaged with sexual activity with his granddaughter on multiple occasions from the time she was 8 years old until she was approximately 13 years old. The abuse included but was not limited to vaginal and anal intercourse. Regarding Mr. Lucero's imminent danger of death commutation application, he's asking for time served. According to the Arizona Department of Corrections time computation, he has an absolute discharge date of January 28, 2032. Should commutation be granted, his release would be immediate. The purpose of Mr. Lucero's request for commutation is based on his diagnosis of stage 4 pulmonary mucinous. Thank you. Adenocarcinoma. And his diagnosis of stage 4. Adenocarcinoma with pancreatic metastasis. Per the Arizona Department of Corrections imminent danger of death report, his life expectancy is of 4 months or less. He has a limited history of discipline from 2013 through 2018, but it is concerning that he received his last major ticket on January 9, 2018 for disorderly conduct. I did not find any letters of support in his commutation request packet. This is his second time before the board for a Phase 2 IDD hearing. the last on October 18, 2018. I'd also like to note that we had a letter dated March 14, 2019 from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing commutation. I will add that based on the number of counts in his conviction and the maximum prison term of 24 years, I certainly did not find his prison sentence excessive. Okay, Mr. Lucero, that was a summary of your commutation request. So can you tell us in your words about your condition, your condition, and why you think we should recommend commutation to the governor? Thank you, sir. Should this board recommend commutation based on your health condition and imminent danger of death, where would you be released to, or what's your plan, sir? So it's a little hard to hear you, sir. And I apologize for that, because I know that you're in a weakened state. But am I correct that your counselor is helping you look for a convalescent home?
Yes.
Do you have the support of any community or family members, sir? Okay, so your wife is not supporting you?
Well,
Okay. So is your wife assisting you in looking for hospice or a convalescent home, sir?
No, she works in a
And where does she work, sir?
She works in Walmart.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Lucero, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, and then we're going to talk to the Department of Corrections physician. Okay, sir? Okay, fellow board members. Are there any questions from fellow board members? Dr. Robinson,
yes.
If you can approach the podium. And if you can state your name for the record, sir.
I'm David Robertson.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
And what would you like to share with the board this morning?
Mr. Lucero has stage 4 pulmonary mucinous adenocarcinoma with pancreatic metastasis. it's now been proven that the cancer is spread everywhere. He's a 64-year-old male with a previous history of hypertension, COPD, asthma, and hypothyroid. He was diagnosed in May of this year with unresectable lung nodule after greater than 100-pound weight loss in the previous 4 months. The CT scan of his chest with contrast showed innumerable nodules throughout both lungs, some of which had some centralized cavitation, meaning they were rotting from the inside. The PET scan that they do supports the diagnosis. Hemo-oncology consults have been done since then, and it was recommended that he have palliative radiation just for symptom management. He's aware that there's no significant chance of a cure, and states his oncologist says he has 2 months to live, and that is true according to the record. He's continuing to complain of nausea, shortness of breath, shakiness, and inspiratory chest pain. This pain is being treated with morphine that's being adjusted for end-of-life pain. On March 1st of this year, he continues his decline. All treatments other than palliation have been discontinued. His pain is well controlled. His skin is intact. He's receiving decent care. And he's aware of what's going on. I saw his chest x-ray last Friday, and the cancer has spread. His lungs are full, and it's a matter of weeks. And I feel that he definitely has less than 4 months. And I would say less than 4 weeks at the rate this is accelerating. So that's my recommendation. And Andy, excuse me.
So 1 second. I want to make sure that my colleagues don't have any questions.
Sure. Yes, I have a question.
Yes, Dr. Wright. Thank you.
Dr. Robson, thank you so much for coming today.
Sure.
Having you at Aegis, so it's a pleasure to have you in the room. Sir, the question that I want to ask, and you may not be able to answer this question, then this follow-up with what Honorable Mr. Kawani said and asked Mr. Lucero a few moments ago, do you have any idea whatsoever of his family situation or any community situation or support? Do you have any idea? I know that's not part of your responsibility.
That would be called discharge planning, and I'm not sure, is there discharge planning?
So recently I've been in contact with Jacqueline Miller. She's
Miss, I'm going to stop you right now. If you're going to testify before the board, I would ask you to come to the podium and state your name.
Okay.
Come on. Pardon me.
That's okay.
Decorum. If you can state your name again, ma'am.
Hi, Amy Conlin.
And what would you like to share with the board?
I would like to share with the board. I have been in contact with Ms. Jacqueline Miller. She is a regional DC planner for those that have applied for IDD. She stated to me that the problem sometimes with those that will go to a palliative home, a hospice care center, is that the duration of time in which they'll hold a bed is max 30 days. So as we go through the process, she stated to me that if they are recommended to the governor, it's when she will step in. Because of the way that access works, is that they can only hold the day per pass is 30 days. So she can't request a bed without a recommendation. Because there's not a lot of hospice palliative care centers that accept sex offenders in the Chisholm area. So that is an issue that she's been working with. In his regards.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have any questions from fellow board members?
Yes, sir. I just want to know, I think you told us, but when would the 30 days start? If this board were to make the recommendation to the governor, would it start once the governor had accepted the recommendation of this board if he saw fit to accept it?
Per our conversation, she would begin, if she had a recommendation from the board to the governor, she would then begin the process of finding him a palliative hospice center at that time prior to the governor's request.
She would be aware of the fact that the governor does not necessarily accept the recommendations from the board because there have been some IDDs that have not been accepted by the governor's office.
Correct. And we talked about that as well. She said that we can hold the bed for 30 days. If it doesn't happen within those 30 days, we can readdress it later to find him a bed. If the 30 days has passed, then somebody else would take the bed.
And to the best of her knowledge, and I'm sorry to ask you, but she's not here, but to the best of her knowledge, that he does not have any relatives or anyone else supporting him aside from the counselor. There's no other family or community support, as far as we know.
Yes, that's true. As far as my understanding, that's accurate as well.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, doctor. And thank you, doctor. Again, just to make sure, do we have any further questions from our fellow board members for Dr. Robinson? Thank you, Dr. Robinson. We have plenty of reports that are attached to the request file, and we thank you for all the detailed reports. I will ask one follow-up question because I wrote it here in my notes. Is his oncologist Dr. DeGuzman?
No, Dr. DeGuzman is the infirmary practitioner at the Tucson Complex.
Do you know who his oncologist is?
University of Arizona, oncology.
It's probably somewhere in the paperwork. I just sometimes, if we have to write a detailed letter.
I think I attached some oncology notes.
You did?
Yes, yes, no, we have lots of notes. I just wasn't sure if there was someone in particular we should make reference to. Okay. Thank you, doctor.
Yes. Any more questions for me?
But I could just ask this one. I guess I could ask your distinguished colleague who for so much recently.
So Rainey.
She understands everything better than I do. But basically, if this board made a recommendation to the governor and the governor accepted this recommendation, he would be what we used to call, I know y'all have some other terminology now, he would be a ward of the state of Arizona. Is that basically what would happen?
I'm not sure of the legal titles. I know that.
But he would be, state of Arizona would be responsible for him if he were released, since he does not have relatives or other supporters in the community to the best of our knowledge.
No, I couldn't answer that question.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You know that the federal government has a very generous hospice benefit. It's in the Medicare rules and regulations, and if he, and no one should die on the street, then he would be receiving appropriate care, or they wouldn't let him go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, doctor. Ms. Carmen, is there any reason for you to approach the podium again? Is there some follow-up that is... Okay, I'll leave it at that. Okay, Mr. Lucero, can you hear me? We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, that this is your hearing for us to consider an imminent danger of death commutation recommendation to the governor. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand? Discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board, Mr. Russell. Can you stay on the phone? It's important that you hear the discussion by the board. And that you know that we're coming back to you for our decision when it's time, okay, sir? Thank you, Mr. Lucero. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members,
I do recognize that Mr. Lucero is very ill right now, and I'm satisfied based on the reports and the information that has been provided to us by the Arizona Department of Corrections physician that of Mr. Lucero is within the last 4 months of his life expectancy, not to be cold, that he's very ill with cancer, to put it in simple language, and that we're here to consider recommending an imminent danger of death commutation to the governor. I can't help but take into consideration that there was a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, a very detailed one, dated March 14, 2019, which opposes his parole. And I am certainly not without compassion or dismissive of dignity, but in short, I am not in favor of commutation. I recognize that he had a very considerable prison sentence for a heinous crime, which traumatized the victim. We do not have any support in this room. I recognize a mechanism for transferring Mr. Lucero to hospice, either via the state of Arizona or support from the federal government as stated by Dr. Robertson. But I also understand that there is a means for Mr. Lucero to be visited inside the Department of Corrections. And under the current circumstances, and this is just my opinion, I believe that he is under good care. And my own opinion is not about any judgment of his soul, so to speak, or of granting some sort of absolution. It's just based on the fact that I know that he's under care right now, that life is short, and I see him under good care under his current circumstances. And I'm having trouble finding the right words, but that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert now.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I'm, you know, certainly accepting and aware of the letter from the county attorney's office, and I don't believe Mr. Lucero will reoffend. I mean, that's not an issue here. We did have a prior IDD hearing in October, and at that time, it was not recommended to the governor, and possibly for the same reason that you're articulating, and that is that there's just no support, no community support for Mr. Lucero. He seems like he's estranged from his family, and I mean, I understand that he does not want to die in Orange, but I'm thinking, just based on what I've heard today, that the best place for him to stay to get the appropriate care is right where he is because of the lack of community support. I think it would almost be, I hate to use this word, irresponsible of the board to release somebody where we know he's getting care now to a situation where we don't know what kind of care he'd be getting. So I would agree with you. I don't think I would recommend this at this time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, and thank you for articulating that so well. It's hard to find the right words under such circumstances. Any further input from my colleagues?
I must agree with both of you, such as I think that was the reason that I raised some of the questions that I raised with the doctor, and because I think that, you know, it's a sad situation. I think medically, that to be sure, he is probably will not survive very long, but just to put him out there would be inconsiderate on the part of this board. And I think that, and in fact, I'm going to use another word, would be inhumane for this board to do that. In my opinion, as one individual board member, ever require the degree of human rights from others, and Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you. Mr. Neal?
I agree.
Okay, then I am going to go ahead and make a motion, fellow board members, and that is regarding Mr. Edward Lucero, ABC number 279621. My motion is to, and I'm going by the language on our cover sheet, is to not recommend to the governor, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright and the Honorable Mr. Neal, making the vote to deny imminent danger of death commutation unanimous. Mr. Lucero, the board has voted to deny recommendation of commutation. Do you have any questions before we bring this hearing to a close?
Yes,
I can't answer that question. Every time that we review a case, it's a clean slate, so to speak. So if you continue to thrive in the coming weeks and have a different plan, you're certainly welcome to apply for an IDD commutation again. But for now, the board has voted to deny. Thank you, sir.